When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode of Politics Without the Boring Bits is sponsored by BT, because BT means business. BT knows that businesses come in many shapes, sizes, and guises, from the person just starting out at their kitchen table to the biggest employer, which is why no matter what line of work you're in, they've got your back to help you succeed and do what you do best. No doubt connectivity is a must in Westminster, and it certainly helped us to get this episode created and distributed to you listening right now. BT already connects more than 1 million businesses and public sector organisations, offering secure and reliable connectivity. Nearly three quarters of people running a business or side hustle feel they couldn't do so without reliable broadband and mobile connectivity. That's why having connectivity you can count on is a must for business, whether it be facilitating multiple devices being connected at once or making team calls or guest Wi-Fi access for customers. BT's connectivity helps keep you and your customers happy. Whatever your business, BT's got your back. Search BT's got your back.
This is the Red Box Politics Podcast from The Times.
Hello and welcome to the Red Box Politics Podcast from The Times. I'm Matt Chorley. This is part two of our special look back over the year so far. Joining me in the studio, Jan Ravens, the impressionist from Spitting Image and Dead Ringers, Times sketch writer and diarist Patrick Kidd, and Times cartoonist Peter Brooks. I wanted to just test you on whether or not you've been paying attention on the political year so far with a small quiz. Sasha, who's been working on Red Box this week, has written a quiz for you, so I wanted to test you. Just shout out the answers and I'll attempt to... keep
I'm going to do very badly
score.
Here compared to you.
No.
So then here we go. What kind of four-legged animal were cabinet ministers accused of being when Theresa May was urged to sack them? They were testosterone-fueled animals. It was on the front page of The Times.
I normally skip straight to the cartoon.
Donkeys was the answer to that one. It was even my story. I can't believe you didn't even read my story. Which Tory MP had his own 80s style pop song as part of his campaign video?
Oh, who was that guy? Oh, he was a big lumpen thing.
It wasn't Greg Knight.
Greg Knight is the right answer. Well done, Patrick. Yeah. That's a score on the board. What did Theresa May say was the naughtiest thing she'd ever done?
Run through a wheatfield.
There we are.
That's been the punchline to several jokes.
Lots of jokes. What breed of dog did Tim Vowan invite us to smell?
Spaniel.
You'll give that to Patrick. How long did David Davis spend in Brussels on the first day of his Brexit talk?
About half an hour.
5 minutes.
Well, I've got 2 hours. I think even that's too long, 2 hours. I will give Jan one for half an hour. What is the Great Repeal Bill actually called?
Oh, Great Withdrawal Bill.
No. Nope.
Something like that.
European Union brackets withdrawal bill.
Well done, Patrick.
Wow.
I mean, some people say you should get a life, but that's very good. What is Donald Trump... What does Donald Trump want Theresa May to do before he visits the UK?
Oh, isn't this get people to like him?
Yes, that's what you are, yeah. He wants him to fix him a warm welcome before he comes. What did Rebecca Long Bailey... how does she describe Uber, the shadow business secretary?
Meretricious and... what was it? It was immoral or something.
Yeah, morally unacceptable. Exactly right. Which drink has been blamed for the cause of Theresa May's problems over the summer?
Oh, warm Prosecco.
Very good, Patrick. God. That's a man who knows his warm Prosecco. Who's the current Downing Street Chief of Staff?
Gavin Barwell.
Very good, Patrick.
Sorry.
That is a get-a-life question.
I love there was the maiden speech of the woman who beat him. Sarah Jones, I think. And in her maiden speech, she said, I'm so happy that I was able to help Theresa May's staffing problems by defeating Gavin Barwell.
How easy is it to drive a train, according to Philip Hammond?
Oh, even a woman could do
it. Even a woman could do it. What did Jeremy Corbyn give to Michel Barnier when he visited Brussels?
An Arsenal football shirt.
Very good. which Tory MP used the N-word when cack-handedly tried to describe
Taunton, whatever her name
the
was.
EU...
Anne-Marie Morris.
Anne-Marie Morris is correct.
Newton Abbott,
very good. Yeah. It's all down there somewhere.
Yeah.
I can say that because I am from Taunton. what is the name of the Downing Street cat?
Larry,
very good. Jan?
Yes, look at me and my political insight.
Oh, this is good. This is
Treasury cat.
The newest Conservative MEP, Rupert Matthews. What did he write a book on?
UFOs and dinosaurs and all sorts of weird things like that.
Ghosts and aliens, very good. Which Labour seat has got the highest Remain vote? Or which Labour MP has got the highest Remain vote in their seat?
Which Labour MP has got the highest Remain vote?
Go on, have
a guess. It's Thangam Debonair.
Nope.
It's another Bristol one.
Nope.
Oh.
It's a nice easy one.
Who's Diane Abbott.
No, who's the most Remainery...
Jeremy Corbyn.
No! Chukwuemunna. And fighting Streatham. And finally, who takes the bins out in...
May.
It's a boy job.
Larry. It's a boy job, exactly right. Well, I'll tot up those in a minute. Just before we wind up, what's been your highlight of the year so far?
Whether highlight?
Or maybe low light. What's the thing that, when you look back on the 2017 so far, politically, what sort of sticks in your mind as being?
I don't think I'll ever forget Theresa May's face on election night.
In Maidenhead, when she...
Yes,
her camp.
I mean, I just thought she looked like she was going to... I don't mean that it was a highlight, and as in I was sort of, you know, crowing about it. I just thought it was so... sort of telling as a kind of, what have I done? What terrible mistake have I made here? You know, I just thought it was... It really sort of got me. I kind of thought, madam, you know, you've made a right mess here.
It makes you sort of feel like... We've all had moments when you've done something and you just wish you could go back and change it, but nothing... quite as bad as calling an election that then goes horribly wrong, and so public as well. You can't sort of just lock yourself away. Patrick?
This year is still to match up to 2016. Can I do two quick highlights from that year?
Go on then.
Jeremy Corbyn sharing a press conference with half of UB40, not the good half. That was wonderfully surreal. And then beginning the press conference by saying to Mr. UB40, so do you like classical music? That was... And then also, I told you earlier about how I love the Fringe characters, and there's a guy called Michael Ellis from Northampton who is coloured shirt, white collar... gold tie pin, slit. You can imagine it, even if you don't know.
Got it.
And on budget day, I saw him looking behind the speaker's chair through the pane of glass to wait for George Osborne, this was 2016, so he could open the door for Osborne. And he clearly thought Osborne was coming, and he flung open the door and did this full bow. And it wasn't Osborne, it was someone else. And at the moment that he was still prostrate, Osborne came through the other door and just walked past him without looking. And that's the thing I most love about my job. It's not the big players.
Yes.
It's Toadie, Lickspittle and Creep, these desperate to please backbenchers.
Yes.
And they give me more fun than anyone else.
That's very funny.
Peter?
Well, it was an opportunity that was my favourite moment. Well, my favourite moment of the past year would be the Michael Gove, Boris Johnson moment.
Of course.
Which, of course, was just drama.
And you did the cartoon which has been reproduced on the front of books, and it's been reproduced again and again, of Gove stabbing Boris, but then also stabbing himself.
Yeah, the blade goes through.
The blade goes through,
gets himself. But those are the moments I like best, because not only is the adrenaline up, but you can do a cartoon that doesn't need any caption, any words at all. It's just there as a visual thing.
Brilliant.
And the other one that I enjoyed on that level, and it was a moment, but I don't think we all saw it, certainly not in the way that I drew it, and that was May meeting Trump in the Oval Office, because I had her holding out her hand in the normal way, and he's holding out his hand, but it's, shall we say, going down a little bit and wandering, if you see what I mean. And so it just gave me the chance to do something that was slightly risque.
This is his
risque.
Grabbing,
obviously doing it.
No.
But,
going in that direction.
Going in that direction, and just gave me the chance to show what his character was being... You know, it was being talked about as, and you know, and of course, it was a famous meeting anyway when she invited him, and he hasn't come.
Yes, but we're now told it's next year rather than this year.
Well,
but I think that's just how calendars work. And then next year it'll be the year after. Are we in a sort of? Is this a particularly good time to be doing sending up? Are there lots of big characters,
Yeah.
Because there is a sort of. when everyone talks about who's going to be the next Tory leader, or whatever, actually the lack of big personalities seems to come up.
It's kind of gone in a more productive direction from that point of view. I remember a few years ago we were all saying political figures have become so bland. You know, there was Cameron and Blair and Osborne and Clegg, and they all kind of looked the same. And certainly when we were doing Dead Ringers on the telly, if a bloke got dressed up as any of those figures, it was difficult to make any difference between them.
Blue or yellow tie on.
I mean, I remember previous to that, there was like Harriet Harman, Jackie Smith and Tessa Jowell, and they all would have the red suit and the helmet haircut, and everybody was starting to look the same. And, you know, from a female point of view, I was sort of saying, you know, we used to have Anne Widdecombe, you know, with her, who was always known as a conviction politician because she wanted to convict as many people as possible. and Claire Short, who always talked like Tony Blair, the Prime Minister, had wired her jaw together so she didn't make any more indiscreet remarks about Iraq. But I used to sort of say, you know, those people would never even get selected, let alone elected, because, you know, now you have to be more bland. Well, there seems to have been a bit of a change in that, whereas now you have started to get more characters. Mm. People do seem to have I suppose you just have to give them characters. Obviously, there's Boris, who's a sort of, you know, like Trump is a sort of joke in himself. Mm. But people like David Davis, like the Dead Ringers, you know, the Brexit bulldog, you know, you make a character of him. Yeah. You create this kind of blustering guy that looks like he should be propping up the bar at the golf club instead of negotiating the most important, you know, contract of several generations.
We don't get enough Boris. And I think this was one of the problems for May in the election, that he was only unleashed in Darlington 2 days before the election.
Yes, he was kept...
Yeah. Kept well, there, whereas the referendum, again, for whatever you think about his politics, Boris is a sunshine politician, he's an optimist. And a lot of people like that. And in the referendum, he went round not saying how bad the European Union was, but how great being out was. Even though, I remember there was one, he was driving a truck, and his advisor said, it's okay, he's just going to sit there to pose for photos, he's not going to turn the engine on. He's not going to drive the truck. Shit, he's driving the truck! And I love the fact you never know what's going to happen with Boris. And with Theresa May, you know exactly what's going to happen. She's going to say over and over again.
I'm not sure you never know what's going to happen with the Foreign Secretary is necessarily what we want for the country.
And also, he did lie about Brexit. You know, he did tell lies.
But very optimistic lies.
They were very positive lies.
I can't allow that, I'm afraid. I don't think that's optimistic, just a lie.
Apart from Anne Widdecombe, who else did you like doing who isn't on the scene that...
I used to like doing Hazel Blears, actually. And I don't know what's happened to Hazel Blears, but, you know... She, I think, was the first person to use the phrase ordinary working families. Ordinary working families, working families, working families. You know, she'd be saying that all the time. And she had the sort of those dark, thin lips and the very short hair. And she used to look like the sort of the Joker's more attractive younger sister. And she
would go out and defend anything. I remember years and years ago working, covering a... She was doing the sort of Sunday morning programme rounds. And for some reason, John Prescott was in the papers again for something. Yes. And she was sort of sent out, sort of dead battle.
Yes.
And she was told, you know, the Labour government's in a mess, isn't it? John Prescott's an embarrassment. And her response was, word for word, sometimes there are things in newspapers that are there for stories. And she just said it, just sort of factually, and that was it. No more questions. That's precisely what a newspaper is. Yes, that's not the answer. But she's just sort of said these in that very New Labour way, just plain statements.
This is my plain speaking way of talking, and
And that's the end of the
matter. Off my motorbike now. Yeah.
Is there anybody...
I'm just on the motorbike thing. I remember Keith Hill, who was a transport minister, she asked a question about that. And he was trying to placate her. He said, of course, that's why everyone in the Labour Party knows her as Blears the Bike. And then he looked stunned. I'm so sorry, I don't mean how that comes across.
Peter, is there anyone that you wish you could still be drawing?
Do you know, I think, as Jan said, I mean, we do have a really good number of characters at the moment. And I think... even though I enjoyed drawing Theresa May, and she's not a character, she's completely the opposite. The others, I mean, apart from Boris...
Hammond must be a great one to
Hammond's
draw, that
good.
Sort of hangdog
Yes,
kind
right,
of.
Hangdog, funereal, sort of, you know, sort of bleak type of characters. But there aren't too many. I mean, Labour front bench is terrible. You know, I mean, who do you know? Yeah, apart from...
We could have done a whole quiz on just naming the Labour front bench, but I'm not sure that's a very high score.
I mean, Diane Abbott, of course, and John McDonnell are very good to draw, apart from Corbyn himself. I mean, abroad it's great as well. I mean, apart from... At one stage, it used to be just mainly Merkel. And, you know, you'd rely on to be able to... Because Hollande was okay, you'd draw him, but it was nothing very exciting. But Macron seems to have actually stirred a good hornet's nest and sort of could be so ego-driven that, you know, he will be fun to draw if it carries on like that.
Putting on a military uniform, having never been in the military, is quite something.
Yes, absolutely. So there are all those sort of things. And, you know, but you've got Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Brilliant. Brilliant to have that sort of world.
If the one good thing he's giving the world is that he's good for cartoons.
He's good for cartoons.
Up until the point he destroys us all.
Terrible for the world.
I quite like Christine Lagarde too, because Christine Lagarde is, you know, she sort of looks like an aging rock drummer, but, you know, she's actually very cool and chic, you know, and, you know, she has that sort of very groomed kind of look. And I like to imagine her and Merkel, you know, kind of chatting in the bar after the summit, you know, and Merkel's there going, you know, don't talk to me about it, you know, I just give them the look, you know. Don't mess with the Merkelmeister. And Christine sort of, you know, kind of suit by Chanel, bag by Hermes, perfect derriere, model zone, you know. She's like very...
And do you think because sort of political engagement and interest after Brexit and the general election that people know characters like Christine Lagarde or... John McDonnell in a way that they might not have done.
I believe that if they don't, we should tell them.
Yeah.
You know, I did pitch a programme idea once where one of the things that we were talking about was Merkel and Lagarde. And this particular television executive said, I'm just a bit worried that Eileen in Leeds won't know who Merkel and Lagarde are. To which my answer is, then we should tell them. Mm. You know, it's wrong on all sorts of levels that, you know, and I don't need to go into that. But... If people don't know who they are, then if you present them in a comic way, I mean, when we were doing Dead Ringers on the telly, lots of teenage boys used to like it, and I would do, you know, my Kirsty, you know, welcome to New Year's Night, I'm Kirsty Ward. They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no. More on that story later, you know, and we'd sort of give her silly song titles. And I mean, and they would say, oh, we love Kirsty Ward. They'd never watch Newsnight.
Yeah.
It didn't matter because the character was funny. And I'm sure that can happen too with cartoonists. You know, you create a funny character and it has its own life. And then they go, oh, I see. And people start joining the dots. Mm. So, you know, comedy and satire can be a fun way of learning about politics and just making people more aware.
Patrick, Jacob Rees-Mogg is almost entirely a creation of sketch writers, isn't he? Now he's second favourite to be the next Prime Minister.
Him and John Bercow, I think, have all been built up. I love Jacob Rees-Mogg, the MP for Fusty-upon-Tweed, as I like to call him. He is, although I'm very worried what's going to happen, Bercow has changed the dress code. They now don't have to wear ties in the chamber. I can only see this ending up with Jacob Rees-Mogg wearing a single-breasted suit or brown shoes, perhaps. No, he's brilliant because he plays up to the parody. He can't become leader, of course, but he would make a brilliant speaker.
We've all heard the phrase, he can't become leader, of course.
Yes.
About this time 2 years ago, I think we were having that conversation, and look how that ended up.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you so much for coming in. Just on the quiz, Pete, I'm afraid you only got two. Jan, you got three, and Patrick, you got nine. So you win the Get a Life Award for the end of term quiz for Redbox. Jan, you are in Edinburgh this August.
I am.
How can people see you?
From August the 2nd at the Gilded Balloon. If you Google Jan Raven's Gilded Balloon, my show's called Difficult Woman. You'll be not surprised to hear. It's about politics, obviously. There's lots of impressions, but it's also sort of about me and about being a woman in your 50s if you're not a world leader, but also about the fact that there is this kind of tide in the affairs of women where there are very many more women in power and lots more people for me to take the piss out of. So, hurrah.
Very good. And obviously you can see Peter, not every day, most days in the Times.
Yeah, honestly.
And Patrick as well. Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for this week and for the summer. I'm off on holiday with the producer, Alex. We'll be back in September. when we'll be picking up the return of the Parliament and heading into the conference season. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and your Android device so the next episode will appear as if by magic. And if you haven't done already, subscribe to my morning email at thetimes.co.uk/redbox, and that will arrive in your inbox when I return from my sun lounger. But for now, from Jan Ravens, Patrick Kidd, Peter Brooks and me, Matt Chorley, it's goodbye.
Thank you for downloading. To discover more, head to thetimes.co.uk. Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no,
I don't,
yes.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.